Monday, April 13th. This morning I had a call from Doris about a possible visit from Philip Baldwin. There may be a dam on Cattle Lake, which is very much needed, and Doris wanted me to help in any way I could. Of course, there's no workhorse like Wright Patman, but I'll add my efforts to his. Then I went out to the Elms, and this time, it was really for the last time. Lunch and desk work, and then at 5:30, one of the two main events of the day, a reception for Lyndon's women appointees. Lyndon and I arrived in the East Room with all the guests already seated. Lyndon went straight to the podium and made a little talk on why he wanted more women in government. Actually, he has far exceeded his goal of 50 appointees since January the 1st. He and the agencies together now total about 158 women appointees. On the front row, right in front of him, were the 8 new women just appointed who were to be sworn in. That was the piece de resistance of the affair, including Catherine White, the ambassador designate to Denmark, Mary Kosling, head of the Women's Bureau of the Department of Labor, and our old friend India Edwards, special consultant to the Secretary of Labor and Youth Employment. Judge Bernita Shelton Matthews, the judge of the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia, rose up in her robes and very solemnly swore in each of the 8 ladies in turn. Lyndon congratulated them all, and then he and I melted on into the Blue Room to receive the guests. Among those I was particularly glad to see were the George Browns. She's on the Committee for the Preservation of the White House. Barbara Bowling, special assistant to the Chief of Protocol, looking very glamorous with an elaborate hairdo, as though to combat the blow to her self-esteem that the divorce must have been. Rose McKee, a very popular appointment with all the newspaper people. She's Information Director of Small Business Administration. And Florence Mahoney, who was appointed to the President's Committee on Heart Cancer and Stroke. And the very handsome and interesting Mrs. Aline Saarinen, the widow of the great architect, who's a member of the special mission to inaugural of Leone of Venezuela. And Lee Walsh, though I'll certainly miss her from the papers. I was very sorry that perhaps his most eminent appointment, Dr. Mary Bunting, to the Commission on Atomic Energy, did not come. And our dear old friend, Helen Gehagen Douglas, who had been Lyndon's representative, the inaugural of President Tubman of Liberia, was in Europe with Melvin and couldn't come. An eminent appointment was Mrs. Elizabeth May as director of the Export-Import Bank, and Virginia May Brown of West Virginia to be an ICC commissioner. It's a good beginning and a list to be proud of. And to have a reception for the women in government was a pleasant salute, something to pinpoint the work Lyndon's doing with and call attention to it. After the reception, the George Brown stayed on and had dinner with Lyndon. And I, in my long black evening dress, went to the National Theater to see the American premiere performance of Her Majesty's Royal Shakespeare Company in the Comedy of Errors. I was one of the sponsors, or I guess I should say I was the sponsor, along with the members of the President's Cabinet. Stuart Udall had asked me. It's one of the series of cultural evenings that the Cabinet is sponsoring. And I want to join with the Cabinet, both the men and the women, in doing the things they do, in helping them if I can, and in getting them to know them all better. It was an invitational affair, and practically a quorum of the Senate, the House, the Supreme Court, Washington Society, and the personal friends of the Cabinet members were there. They had been kind enough to give me quite a batch of tickets to give away. And I had asked a lot of the girls in the correspondence section here at the White House to be my guests, as well as kinfolks like Patsy Derby and Date and Diana, who took Tom Corcoran. I sat between Lord and Lady Harlech. Linda Bird was close by. The McNamaras met me at the front door and escorted me in. And the Goldbergs were just right in front of me. The diplomats were there in great number, and among them the Dobrynians, who are everywhere these days. For the first 30 minutes of the show, I was lost in the language of Shakespeare of 400 years ago. But after I finally got in tune with it, it was an hilariously funny evening. This is one of Shakespeare's earliest plays, one of his least produced, one that was never a favorite of mine. In fact, I don't think I've ever even seen it before, although I've read a bit of it. But I think Comedy of Errors could stand up as the great-granddaddy of all bedroom farces, where everybody is mistaken for everybody else and gets mixed up with everybody else's wife. But the biggest mix-up of the evening, and really a sad commentary on the Congress this year, is that they needed a quorum badly up in the Senate. One of the page boys phoned down, asked it be announced from the stage to call all the senators back quick to the floor. The announcement was not made. Scott Patrick, the harassed manager of the theater, went running up and down the aisles looking for Senators Douglas, Anderson, and Moss. I think the Senate finally gave up to culture. Lord and Lady Harleck are the archetype of British elegance. I wish I knew them better. I liked them very much. They asked if Lindbergh could come on afterwards for a party at their house. I was delighted to have a go, but didn't want to go myself without Lyndon. I would feel real satisfied if I were you, doll, for it was indeed a glittering and beautiful evening, except that the business of the Senate didn't get tended to. When I reached home, I wasn't really sleepy, so I propped up in bed with all the State Department's information on Jordan and took a quick crash course on young King Hussein I, his pretty British wife, the 18-year-old brother that's accompanying him, the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, and its brief history since 1946, its meager natural resources, its water problems, especially the River Jordan, and the current controversy with Israel over the waters thereof, the attacks on Hussein's life, the new growth of tourism in Jordan, especially because of their maintenance of historical sites and the building of better roads, the possibility of exporting phosphates and potash from the Dead Sea, and most interesting of all, the possibility for finding oil, which is emphasized by the fact that the king, when he leaves us, is going down to be the personal guest of Johnny Meekum of Houston, who has visited him often, I hear, and who is conducting a search for oil in Jordan. And it was lucky I did my homework, because as it turned out, the next day was so full I didn't have a minute to do it.